and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Friday morning, a beautiful Friday morning here at the racetrack. So if you're planning to come up, you're going to have a very nice day. Don't forget, it's also long sleeve T-shirt giveaway day. Come up, you get a T-shirt with a paid admission. So that's a bonus on this Friday. Friday here on the show, just walked into the vicinity. Joe Clancy from the Saratoga Special coming up shortly. We'll talk, get his opinions on the jump race. The other snap decision was phenomenal. We'll get some of his thoughts for a little review, a little preview, and what we've seen recently in the Saratoga Special. Last segment of the show, a couple of guys have put together a brand new product, spot sheets, spot plays, and it's a graphic way to look at the races and nice tool in the toolbox. We'll take a look at some action with them using their product, and that's coming up a little bit later on. But we are joined now at the top of the show by Bill Morey, trainer, and he has some horses coming up that we'll talk about and more. Bill, good morning.
Morning.
Happy to have you on board, and always happy to, as I say, I think during Saratoga we get new people in and new fans, and just like to introduce them to some of the people whose names they see in the program. And one of the things I always like to find out with trainers, how did you get into the game and doing a little bio information? Seems like family business.
Yeah, I worked for Dad. My dad trained all his life, and I worked for him through high school and college, and then I went on my own. This is all in Northern California. And had some luck in Northern California, also in Southern California. My wife and I moved to Lexington, Kentucky about 3.5 years ago now. And I've been racing at all the Kentucky tracks, living in Lexington. And then this, almost a year ago now, last October, started a small string in New York as well at Belmont. And we had a little bit of success, so we kept it going, and we were excited to come here to Saratoga.
What are the kind of bucket list thing that I would like to do, and I'm wondering, you say, you know, the family was up in Northern California, you enjoy the fair circuit up there and go on the
fairs? I mean, I grew up on the fairs, grooming horses and assistant trainer on the fairs, we used to hit all the fairs back in those days. It was a lot of fun. It was a fun way to grow up in the summers. It's changed a lot now. There's a lot less fairs going on and stuff, but there's still a few of them. It's a lot different racing than you might be used to here, but yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Looking and reading about it over the years, it seems like those Northern California fairs, something that...
That's where I grew up.
Yeah, no question about it. Talk a little bit about the transition to Kentucky and how you're enjoying racing down there, because Kentucky over the past few years, Kentucky Downs and Ellis Park even. At Ellis Park in the summertime now is kind of salty, and talk a little bit about the Kentucky racing.
Kentucky's a wonderful place to live as a horse person. My wife and I love it there. We have a small farm on the north edge of Lexington. I've been able to train at Keeneland, Churchill, Turfway, Ellis, all of them. We've had a little better success in the winter at Turfway, probably most likely because the competition is a little bit softer, but we've done very well there. We've nibbled a little bit, done okay at, you know, Churchill and Keeneland, and this summer at Ellis. I'm excited to run a couple this summer at Kentucky Downs. Of course, the purses are huge. I'm hoping to get in. I know the maiden races will be... have a lot of entries, that's for sure, but it's a fun place to run. It's a very unique place, so it's been a lot of fun.
The Kentucky racing, but the Kentucky Downs and those purses and whatnot, just phenomenal. But yeah, phenomenal racing up here in Saratoga as well. When was your first visit to Saratoga?
I drove up here from Belmont on either the Sunday or the I think it was the Sunday before the meet started here, and I've just been in awe ever since.
It's so before this meet was your first visit to Saratoga?
My first visit here was the Sunday before this meet started. I drove in here. I rented a house right behind here. I'm walking distance from here. It's just a really beautiful, unique place. For any horse racing fan, owner, trainer, jockey, anybody, you got to hit Saratoga. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I continue to say, people who have watched it probably heard it a million times, but it's what makes it special is not just what's inside the fences and the racing and everything, but what's outside the fences. You go downtown to dinner and the people next to you are talking about the exact that they played today or
no. Yeah, no, it's amazing. I've hit getting close to almost every track in the country. Spent a lot of summers at Del Mar, obviously, which is a beautiful place as well. This place, I don't know, right? If you ask me right now, I'm liking Saratoga even better than Del Mar, if that's possible. I love both places. This place is great. Like I said, anybody that's holding out, they should experience both places, Del Mar and Saratoga. This place is super. I've had a great time here. The racing's very tough, very competitive. It's good racing. But I just love every aspect of it. It's a super place to be.
How many horses do you have up here?
We have 10 here right now, and we got a few more to run here at the meet. Like I said, it's been a tough meet. It's a very competitive, tough meet, but it's a lot of fun. I didn't expect it to be easy.
which makes the winning more special. Yeah. And, you know, if you can get in that Warner Circle up here at Saratoga, everybody loves it. Where are you located? Are you on this side or over on the Oklahoma side?
We're stabled in barn 32, which is right parallel to the 3/8 pole of the main track here. It's a great spot. It's a beautiful place to train. You know, so I think the first night I got here, I took a picture of our barn and looking at the grandstand in the evening. It's just a beautiful place.
And I often ask trainers who sit here, you ever bring horses to Clare Court back here?
I have now. I almost didn't even know this was back here. You know, it's another aspect that's a really pretty, very unique. There's lots of unique aspects of Saratoga, and that's one of them.
Yeah, trainers tell me it's good for a horse who maybe mentally just, they get back here and it's a lot calmer, and just
right.
from a mental aspect, it benefits horses.
Get a little sour going to the track every day or something. Maybe they need a change in scenery. And a little calmer type training episode would be great here.
Yeah, and it's great for us as well. Not so much the 10 o'clock show, but the 9 o'clock show.
You still got the horses
there.
Back.
Yeah,
it's neat. It's really
great.
Very unique.
Yeah.
Lots of unique things about Saratoga.
Yeah, great background, no question about it. Let's talk about some of your horses because you have some coming up. And I pulled up a replay here of Awesome Indra, and I'm assuming she was entered. She was, well, I'm not assuming, main track only, but she's also entered on the 21st in an allowance event, so I'm assuming that'll be the game plan going forward. We're going to take a look going back to Belmont on June 19th. Awesome Indra is going to be the number 7 horse. A clever claim, I would think. You pulled her out of this race, subsequently ran 6th in an allowance up here on July 23rd, but you have the race coming up in a couple of days. How'd she come out of that? Obviously, as I say, you claimed her out of this race, which was 2 races back, but how'd she come out of the first start at Saratoga, and what are you expecting in a couple of days for Awesome Indra?
She trains well. She ran super for Falcone when we claimed her that day, did a great job with her. We were lucky to get her in a shake. I can't even remember now. I think it was a 10-way shake, maybe 9, 10, 11-way shake. So we got lucky to get her. Obviously, that jump from claiming 25,000 to the allowance non-winners of once other than, especially at Saratoga, it's a huge jump.
Yeah.
You know, our choices were to run her back for like 32 and we'd have one shot with her and lose her right back, which, yeah, you can do that sometimes, but my owner wanted to take a chance and I did too. It's hard to get a horse that's eligible for an allowance condition. We took a shot in the allowance here. Came up a pretty tough race, I thought, and she got in a little trouble. It wasn't the best trip. You know, she kind of ran up on heels and had to steady and tried to make like 3 runs in there. So we're a 12-15 to 1 shot in a first condition and a troubled trip. So it wasn't our day that day.
It'll be Sunday's 8th race. Again, allowance going 6 furlongs. What are you expecting on Sunday?
Hoping for a cleaner trip. We got IRAD. We're lucky to get IRAD on her.
That's
bonus. That's always a bonus. You know, hoping to get a cleaner trip and just having her, you know, either on the lead or up near the lead, kind of in the clear a little more. Hoping not to run into those traffic troubles that we ran into last time.
You talk about the shakes down at Belmont. Have you tried to claim anything up here? Because, man, the claim box has been on fire.
I'm used to it from Del Mar this time of the year. The end of the meet before Del Mar, going into Del Mar, 10, 12, 15, 20-way shakes everywhere. Churchill Downs, where I've been stabled now, 15, 20-way shakes all the time. Here, same the end of Belmont into here. The demand really rises, and everybody wants to have horses for Saratoga, and the shakes get bigger. Obviously, lots of luck at the draw. Sometimes the general public or the handicappers don't realize how much luck goes into this thing. You know, they go, oh, this guy made a good claim or this guy made a bad claim, and you're in a 10, 11, 12-way shake. So, yeah, we're making some good and some bad, but there's a lot of luck involved,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, no question about it. Also want to talk about, and I believe this Tuesday is the Pennsylvania Day down at Parks, and you have a horse in a stakes race down there, the Catherine Sophia, the stakes race, but you have Shotgun Hottie. I pulled up a replay. Monmouth Oaks, nice little second in the Monmouth Oaks going back to the end of July. The winner will be Shahama, the number 5. Shotgun Hottie will be the number 2 horse. How'd she come out of this effort in the Monmouth Oaks, and what are you expecting on Tuesday down at Parks with Shotgun Hottie?
She's been a really steady filly. You can tell from her form. We started her up here in the winter at Aqueduct, and she won the Ruthless, and then she was on the board in the other two races of that series. You can see here, the winner ran very well, but we were finishing steadily. She's always trying at the end, and it puts her in the mix every time.
Yeah, and again, nice little stakes race coming up on Tuesday for her. I also, when I pulled up your Twitter feed, had a picture and said, looking forward to this one moving into the barn. I want to get a little update and find out what might be going on with a nice little 2-year-old purchased again recently at sale by Sharp Azteca. And the numbers so far on Sharp Azteca as siring precocious runners was just enough that I had to ask about this one. Sharp Azteca, Out of the Dam Effect. You said the horse has been named, and what's going on with that one?
He's a really good-looking, pretty colt named Chimaev. I believe that's how you pronounce it. And he actually worked yesterday at Churchill, his first 5-furlong workout. We like him. We've got high hopes for him. He's still a few works away. We're hoping to get him ready for when Churchill opens around September 15th.
Which is a salty spot for 2 years. I always think both of the fall meets to me at Churchill are salty for 2-year-olds, but particularly the later one is very salty for 2-year-olds.
Yeah, well, it's like here. That when the maiden specials are running for 100,000, 120,000 at places like Saratoga, Churchill, you better believe they're going to be tough.
Yeah. You also mentioned a couple others when you sat down. You have a 2-year-old that maybe we can look for, Sweet Blush.
She breezed today right here out of the gate under Jose Ortiz. She worked really well. We've entered her today for Wednesday here at Saratoga. She's a New York bred 2-year-old filly. We got high hopes on her too.
So looking for her on Wednesday.
Yeah, they haven't drawn entries yet. I'm hoping the race goes and everything, but we're in the entry box.
So your first time starter that you're feeling pretty good about?
Yeah, she's training well.
What are you looking for a first time starter when you're going out there? And do you get an indication of, oh, this one's going to be really good in the first start, or here's one that may need a start or two to kind of figure it out?
Lots of times you think so. You think both of those things, but you're not always right. But, obviously the ones that show a little more speed out of the gate and show more early speed in company and so forth are the ones that you think have a better chance to win first out. She wasn't training super, super well early on, but she's really coming around. I think she's going to even get better with some more racing, but she's definitely on the upswing right now.
And with the New York bred, you have all kinds
of options. It's nice to run a New York bred. Yeah, the New York bred program is, I would say, it's the best state bred program in the country by a landslide. I've raced at all of them. They've got really good options. They've got Maiden 25, Maiden 40, Maiden Special, first level allowance. They have a second level allowance for New York breds, and they have a good stakes program for New York breds. So it's a really good program.
Yeah, we talk about the New York bred program a lot. I agree completely. And from when I got into the game, it is completely different. The quality has skyrocketed.
Well, we're running against Todd Pletcher, Chad Brown. All of them are getting good New York breds now. There's no base on balls in these New York bred races. They're good races, but it's a good program, and that's why there's good horses in it.
Yeah. You talked when you sat down about another one, the 3-year-old Neshoba's Joy. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Neshoba's Joy is a 3-year-old that I'm trying to get ready for opening day at Kentucky Downs. That's September the 1st. He'll be running in a maiden special weight at a mile on the turf there. So the entries, I have a feeling those entries are going to fill very well there. So I'm not 100% sure if he'll get in or not, luck of the draw. But we're trying to get him in at Kentucky Downs.
So there are a few to look for over the next few couple of weeks, or
yeah,
going ahead
for sure.
A little bit some of the other tracks also. So how's your New York experience been so far?
I love New York overall. Went to a couple Mets games, took in some of the sights. Again, Saratoga. I mean, I enjoyed my time down at Belmont this year. But when you get here, it just really sinks in. It's just a really special place. And if you're a horse racing, like I said, fan, trainer, owner, anything, You got to get here. You got to be here.
Yeah, to me, it is kind of like the mecca of horse racing.
Yeah.
It's very special up here. And we certainly wish you good luck going forward, and good luck in the next few days with the horses we talked about. We appreciate your swinging by and your conversation. Oh, I did also want to ask, because when I pulled up on Equibase, and you've mentioned you have horses in Kentucky, and you have horses at various tracks. So have you been based here throughout the meet, or are you kind of bouncing around?
I've been going back and forth, but I've probably been spending, you know, at least 50-50 of my time, maybe 60-40 here, but I've been going back and forth, yeah. It's not the easiest place to get to and from, I will say, but it's worth it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got the Albany Airport, though.
Yeah, yeah.
About 20 minutes away.
But you
got
to connect somewhere. I hate connecting.
Oh, yeah. I hate flying all together, yeah. But you're right. If you're going someplace, you got to... Yeah, the direct flight is not a thing around here. You nailed that. Trainer Bill Morey, again, has some horses coming up. We appreciate your stopping by, and as I say, continued good luck.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Joe Clancy, Saratoga Special. We'll do a little review, a little preview, and more. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Hello everyone, I'm Scott Vartley and I'm here at the West Condominiums in Saratoga Springs. And guess what? We are down to the home stretch. Everything is two bedrooms and two baths. Come make a selection in one of the greatest condos ever to be built in Saratoga Springs. We're starting in the upper fives and the only rooftop penthouse available now under construction. Wow, just look at this patio. We have a rooftop pool, heated garage, balconies, and a gym. Call me at 518-281-6808.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Again, Friday morning means a visit from the Saratoga Special in the rotation this morning. Joe Clancy. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Happy to have you on board. Things are pretty good. How about you?
Yeah, same. We're good. We're like everything in Saratoga, it's ebbs and flows. We survived. We got through sales week, and then you're back up, and, you know, so. But, yeah, we're doing good. Looking
Yeah, you did when we had you guys in talking, you know, beginning of the meet and whatnot, the schedule was laid out. That sales week, you were flat out. But just reflect on the sales a little bit. They knocked it out of the park. Both. But the major sale and then the New York bred sale. It's crazy.
Yeah, they're yearlings, obviously, so it's going to be a while before we see them. But that, to me, is just it's like an economic indicator of the game.
Yeah.
If there's money around for horses like that, it's good for everything. And it fuels so many other things. I was talking to people about they have a yearling sale down at Timonium in Maryland coming up in October. And, you know, they're like, they're not really the same kind of sale, but the success of this sale really fuels other sales. It just means there's money around for people want horses. There's a lot of demand, and it's a strong kind of indicator of the health of the game for sure.
Yeah, and that was over both Monday and Tuesday night. And Monday it was steamy, and man, they were people have gotten to listen. It is a social scene over there.
It's funny talking to people who bring yearlings who maybe, like, I talked to a couple consigners who brought yearlings for the first time, and they'd heard of it and they've seen it, but to experience with a yearling, and they're like, she walked in there like nothing. I couldn't believe it. You know, she walked right past all those people, and it's like we're in the middle of a
cocktail party, bar, whatever, and she just walked in there, easy as could be, like she's been doing it her whole life. So
the horses are amazing. They adapt to it, and the atmosphere is, you know, Fazy Tipton's done a great job. It's an amazing event, really.
I highly recommend it every year. If you've never done it, it's just fun to go over there and see that. You know, gavel come down on seven figures, which happened a number of times, and there's applause, although it's wait until the horse leaves the ring, exactly. And then there's the applause. But yeah, the paddock out back, it's out in the backyard, and it's free to everyone. You can go and just kind of hang out back there. But they're three deep on that rail in the paddock, and then they got to make a path to come in for the horse. So yeah, that these horses act the way they do and don't act up more.
And it's interesting to talk to buyers. People who really study horses, they will watch that. And as an indicator of the horse's kind of brain power or how they handle different situations and that kind of thing. And, you know, you would have to really do it a lot to, you know, gain something from that. But they talk about it, you know, and like, I want to see how they handle this because they're going to get confronted by different situations on the racetrack too. And how do they handle it?
I've talked to people who said exactly the same thing. They're looking as they walk just through the barns before the sales, looking. They want the horse that's looking out of the stall and kind of is curious and intrigued by the activity and comes out and they're into it. Yeah, so there is as much mental as physical.
Yeah, which is fascinating to me. Yeah. It's great to talk to them about that. Yeah. I find that really interesting. Yeah.
All right, let's start a little review and get some thoughts on what happened over the past week here at Saratoga. And first, obviously, you guys, you and your brother Sean and Tom Law, but Saratoga Special and, you know, steeplechase times and whatnot over the years. You guys look at the steeplechase runners, and you, of course, do the pregame over at Naira on the steeplechase. You tweeted out to me that I passed that snap decision. He was a little bit upset. And I replied back, and I said on the show, I'm being clever. I looked at the weights, and, you know, you look at 164 and Down Royal, who would look so good in the Smithwick, 143. I'm going to be clever. Yeah, about the first time they hit the clubhouse turn, I knew Clever was not going to work. Snap decision was incredible the other day.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. I mean, and that's the kind of – those are the kind of performances people come to Saratoga for, jump, flat, whatever. When Saratoga can showcase a horse like that, and here he is here, and we see Graham Waters
looks back
around, like
looks back in disdain.
Coming? Yeah, and Richard McGillery's like, we're going to need to get that guy a rearview mirror and if he keeps riding this horse. But – really impressive. Yeah, he's carrying 164. That horse that's second in an all-out drive is carrying 140. Really neat horses. Fib spread, Shug McGee had him. He broke his maiden at Gulfstream on the first Pegasus day. Like, that's how the horse fits in. And he's a grandson of Personal Ensign, bred to be a really good horse on the flat. He just needed a little more time, a little more distance, I guess, and has just turned into a superstar over jumps. And I'm thrilled that Jack Fisher brought him here. Jack was really sweating it the way. You know, I think he realized this horse earned the weight.
Yeah.
But he was sweating the decision. He's responsible for that horse.
Yeah,
to run him here with that weight, and if something happened, I think it'd be, if you were a horse trainer, it would be really tough to take. There are some weight for age opportunities later, so he could have bypassed. But to bring him here, show him off, and then he delivers that. And if you can watch the whole video, I encourage you to, because you'll see him stand off, which means take off from a long way back at the fence. And that's a horse who's just full of confidence and full of ability. And he jumps the last fence on the backside, so the last fence in the race. He just attacks it. You know, and the other horses, he leaves two strides sooner than the other horses, and he's just, his feet come up, and it's a really brave, athletic horse. And if you can pull it up on the Naira website and watch that replay. It's a cool horse putting on a show, and he really did.
Put on a show, because it was one of those races where they kind of come out of the gate, they make the start, and it's not that long after the start where the jock says, I got the best horse, I'm going. By the time they hit the clubhouse turn, for the first time, I knew, I'm done.
Now, Graham Waters was funny. He said that my only worry was sort of getting him in a spot that he wasn't comfortable. And he said, they broke off and kind of weren't going fast enough for him, and I'm like, go ahead. And the other thing he told me is he had, at 164, he had a nice big steak dinner the night before, and he had to borrow all of Dylan Davis's lead to put in the saddle to carry to make 164. So,
I didn't think about that. Yeah. Usually it's, I'm going to go in the sweat box for a while.
No,
he's going to have a steak dinner.
Steak dinner, yeah.
I like that. Very good. Also wanted to go back and get some of your thoughts because, again, Saratoga especially, you guys do great coverage of the entire meet, and I wanted to get some thoughts on some of the stakes action from last week and going back to the four-star day. We'll watch Casa Creed again over Regal Glory. Regal Glory goes off at 1-2, and I just thought her record was so impressive. I went in that direction. I kind of kicked myself afterwards. because I like to root for Lely, Einsiedler, and I've kind of been on Cossack Reed many, many times, and that 4-1 I thought was super generous. Lee's pink colors, this was a great run from Cossack Reed.
Yeah, really cool. I mean, coming in, the question was whether he could duplicate this kind of run going a mile. He's run in this race before and not quite been able to get it done or get the right setup. He won the Jiper going 6 furlongs. He basically ran the same kind of race, you know, sits there, and then punches that last 3/8. And I thought it was really impressive. And like you, it was kind of neat to see you. Regal Glory's been nothing but, you know, fantastic all year, and doesn't really lose much in defeat there. I mean, Costa Creed's a pretty fair horse, you know, and he ran her down, and it'll be interesting to see where they go. You know, does he? I think that mile is probably more his game than the turf sprints. You know, the 6 furlong turf sprints are probably his game. You know, maybe the 5, 5.5 aren't quite it, but if he can get that kind of trip, and you know, I love the way Luis Saez rode him. I mean, he rode him like it was the 6 furlong race, you know, and he's either going to get there or he wasn't, and very impressive.
Yeah, got there very impressively. We had Lee in on Sunday, and he kind of said, and I agree, you know, given now a couple of great ones, he's in the conversation for the male turf eclipse.
Yeah, he was asking me, peppering me for my vote and everything, and I said, it's August, it would be okay, it'll be okay, you know, but I don't vote until it's time. Again, need 6 years old and a horse coming back, I think that, you know, that's good for Saratoga and good for racing, too, to see horses like that come back. And he's obviously getting better, you know, which I think is great.
It was, again, another phenomenal performance last week. And one more phenomenal performance I wanted to look at from the weekend going back to Sunday, the Mahoney Big Invasion. Boy, you talk about turf sprinters. And, you know, as a three-year-old, does this one go on to the breed? I think they have to. This horse is just so impressive. What a monster. And, again, this is the Mahoney we're looking at. Big Invasion is going to be the number two horse. And Dean Reeves followed up the other day with Dakota Gold. He's having, as an owner, he's having a great meet. But, boy, Big Invasion is just super.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, you see him shift gears here. It's like, okay, I got everybody, you know. And maybe at the top of the stretch, you're like, is he going to unleash that like he normally does? And he just ran by him, and then here he's geared down winning. And, I think eventually horses like that, whether they're three or not, I mean, if they keep progressing, you have to think about the Breeders' Cup with a horse like that, you know. And again, I think horses that can sit that trip in turf sprints, they're not necessarily – they don't need anything to happen. You know, they just need to be able to in a position to unleash that run, and if it's good enough, it's good enough. You know, where some horses might need this or that or have to be somewhere in a race or need the lead or need the outside or whatever. I mean, a horse like that, he can sit that trip a little like Costa Creed did in the other race and, you know, kick like that, it's going to get him somewhere, that's for sure.
Yeah, that just another phenomenal performance on the weekend. And as I say, Dean Reeves, I mean, meet as well. Catch us up on what people might find in the Saratoga special just recently, but also going ahead, because I know people look forward to the stable tours. And again, if you're in the area, you can pick up at the racetrack, some of the stores and supermarkets around the area. If you're not in the area, you can go to thisishorseracing.com and catch up online. But what Shug was so recent stable tour, right?
Yeah, I did a stable tour with Shug the other day, which was fascinating as always. He's got, I didn't realize he had quite the number of two-year-olds he has. He's got a lot of unraced two-year-olds that we haven't really seen yet. They're predictably really well-bred, you know, and he tried to, you know, parcel out or figure out this one wants a little more ground or this one wants that or whatever. And I love talking horses with him. We obviously went, I haven't even told it quite yet, but he hopefully I get it to write it. He kind of told some really cool lore stories and personal ensign stories and some other stuff like that. So it's fun to walk the shed row with him, and he's got a fascinating, for him, of kind of a cool barn, because it's a young barn and sort of horses, obviously first captains there, but then there's a bunch of two-year-olds underneath coming on, which I think he's not going to be in a hurry with, but I think, you know, there'll be some horses to think about and to watch this fall for sure.
First captain, there's still a jockey club, right?
Yeah.
I had Terry in here the other day talking about that. So, and he has a great location, too. We went out and interviewed him last year at his barn. He's kind of as far away from here as you can get diagonally over in Oklahoma, but it's a really nice setup over there.
Yeah, and it's been the Phipps barn for decades, you know, and to kind of stand there and think of the horses that were in there, that's what we would
say. Yeah, when you talk about regal breeding, it all goes
back
to that.
Yeah, he's pointing the trees and things. They say Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons planted those trees out in front of the barn. Maybe he did. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, and you think of the, you know, Buck Passer was in that barn. And, you know, Bold Ruler might have been in that barn. I don't know. It's fascinating to think of the history of all that that's come through there.
Also like to get an update and update people and tell them to swing by again the website or pick up the paper. But the website on days the papers are printed, catch up with the handicappers. Man, I'm chasing Sabazian again.
Everybody.
He had the 8-10 day, which kind of set me back a little bit. I was really chasing.
That'll happen. Tom Law was reeling him in a little bit. A couple people were reeling him in a little, but
I'm right there. I'm right with Tom. Yeah. But still, I'm like taking on my binoculars to
he's
see.
He's just kind of like a machine. It just chunk and just keeps cranking them out. So, but it's fun to. We talk about it in the office all the time. About all right, Tom, how you doing? We don't see John in the office every day, but we do hear from him and bump into him at the races and things like that. And yeah, he's strong. He doesn't miss many, that's for sure.
I see him almost every day. I see him driving by. But as I drive over to the front side, a lot of times he'll go for the first race and then come watch in the backside.
Right.
Passes me in his hot-looking convertible.
Yes, I know. We should always hold it. He finally had it. He did pick snap decision, though. He said it was his first jump winner in a while. So, you know, I tried to give him a fair a couple weeks ago, but, it, you know, he wouldn't go there. So.
I may have the edge on there because I'm in the black with the jumpers.
Nice.
I had the first jumper, and then I had the one last week.
Okay, which, good.
So, yeah, all right. So I have an edge in some...
There, yeah. Yeah,
in some
go.
Category. Right. Also want to, you know, we've done a little review. We'll do a little preview. It's Alabama Day tomorrow. I pulled up a replay from the coaching club, American Oaks. We'll watch Nest over at Secret Oath. Again, I think people are, you know, looking forward to the rematch here. I'm surprised they, you know, they got a decent little field in here of seven. Nest, Secret Oath. I thought Gerrymander was a little bit interesting. I thought Goddess of Fire was a little bit interesting. All of that said, as we see here with the coaching club American Oaks, I think the betting public will be all over Nest and you know, deservedly so. But what are your thoughts on the Alabama?
Yeah, she's going to be very hard to get past. I mean, I would think if Secret Oath is coming up, she must be, you know, she must be better than she was there. Maybe she got a little tired there. Whatever. There was a lot of talk about the track being tiring for horses and horses sort of not necessarily needing a race, but needing some training over it. And maybe she's better. But, I think Nest gets better the longer the race goes. She certainly kicked away there. I mean, she actually didn't look like she was going to win by as many as she did until she really pours it on late, you know. So, and I just think she's going to be really tough to beat. I mean, sometimes you might have a distance question about horse coming in. You don't have a distance question with her.
Yeah.
You know, I think she's going to be really tough to handle. You know, and if I don't see why she wouldn't repeat that effort. And again, to me, it's the ground. You don't have that question with her. You know?
Got thoughts today?
I have not. No, I do not. We're looking ahead. We're doing a preview issue. So
yeah, tell us what's coming up. What's the next stable tour?
So Danny Gargan, Timothy Leteau had done that a few days ago. So we've got that one in the can, which is always nice. When we wake up in the morning of a print deadline and don't have a stable tour, it's a little stressful. So we've got that one in the can, and then we'll try to four more papers to do after that, and we'll figure out who the next. Next group is. We usually get to Bill Mott. I think it'd be fun to try to get to Steve Asmussen. Hopefully he didn't hear me say that because then I just warned him. But I think it'd be fun to get to him with the horses he has coming up to run.
He's going the other
way. Exactly. But, I love doing it. They're a challenge to do, but they're fun to do, and I think they make great reads.
People really like it.
I get a lot of feedback saying people, they use them for handicapping insight, and I don't always get the same insight they do, and I type the words on the page, but whatever. If it works for them, I think that's great.
I also like the worth repeating. I like the first couple of pages are always very entertaining to me as well. Highly recommended the Saratoga special. Oh, and last week, the Saratoga special guests on the Friday show, your two interns, Spencer and Tim, that was fun having them in and you know, just kind of reminiscing because subsequently I had a niece in yesterday who went through the Saratoga special program and has now moved on, went on to Flying Star and Amplify. She has started with a partner, so it's nice to see the interns move on to bigger and better things. And I think these two guys are on their way as well.
Spencer had to go back to Penn State to cover some football, so we had to let him go. And Tim's here through the weekend, and then he goes back to school too. He goes to Marquette, and we'll be back at work over there. We're thinking of writing a note to somebody over there and see if we can get him to stay. It must be
write a note to the teacher.
Talk some basketball or whatever, and then maybe they'll let him stay.
Yeah. Because what happened? So you must have a couple issues left. And
yeah, Paul Halloran's going to come in. He helps us out on some of the busier weekends. So he'll be here, and we'll kind of just muddle through a little bit and see how we do. It becomes a little workload when you see there's three stakes tomorrow. You're like, okay, that's three previews, three recaps. You know, so plenty to do as always. But it's Saratoga, and the product is so good. That
and again, remind people one more time, whenever we have you on, when's the hard copy come out and people can find it online as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, print copies are Wednesday, Saturday now. We went every day during sales where we did six in a row, kind of like the old days. And I get asked a lot, why don't you do every day? And basically the print bill got so high and the paper got so big that the challenge of producing it. And then those heavy weekend cards were really hard to do. Turn around and you do a big paper Saturday and turn around and do another one for Sunday.
Yeah.
It was getting to be really tricky with the staff we had. So Wednesday, Saturday gives us a chance to really recap stuff in Wednesday, which is fun. Get you know, you can do a little more on it. And then in between, the handicapping and a little bit of other color is on the website with sort of a every day there's racing. We've got a little mini issue, not really, one story that's got the handicapping and then just some other little details about what's going on.
And that is thisishorseracing.com.
Correct.
Also, you type Saratoga Special into the
you can find it
Google.
Yeah,
yeah, they're very easy to find. You guys do a great job, and once again, appreciate your swinging by this morning. Do a little recap and a little preview as well. And I wanted to have you in also talk voice snap decisions. And I'm kicking myself.
Why? That was one. That could have been one. It's a free square.
Exactly.
No, come on.
And that's exactly as they say. As they hit the club first, clubhouse turn the first time. I was thinking, well, that was a free square I gave away. So, what can you do? I'll have to make something work a little bit later on. Joe, we really appreciate the visit, and again, we'll have you guys plugged in over the next couple
definitely.
Weeks.
Thanks for having us. We're happy to be here.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, hey, maybe a new tool in the handicapping toolbox, the spot plays, the spot sheets. We'll talk a little bit about that. New way to look at the races, and we'll take a look at the races with those products right after this break. Stay tuned.
Juvenile fillies turf, 14 of them across the track. Heels sent on their way. End of the dance on the outside. Broke a little sideways with Pro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be stopped. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shoving Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop shoving Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's warning.
The chances broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won at just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
And where do we look?
Welcome back to Racing Across America. We are joined now by Ed Cofino and Chris Pomerleau. of spot sheets, spot plays. They'll talk a little bit about their podcast where you can learn more about it. You can find them on Twitter at Spot Sheets, but we thought we'd bring them on. New handicapping product that maybe you can add to your toolbox, kind of an interesting way to look at the races. So we'll talk about that and maybe take a look at a couple of races for tomorrow as well. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning. Good morning, Seth. Appreciate you having us on.
Happy to have you on. Chris, why don't you start? Just talk a little bit about the product and how it, you know, the genesis and what it is today.
Well, I'll tell you that one of the things that I feel like a lot of people, that I'm a really good handicapper. And I've always struggled with before. I was noticing that I was picking the right four horses, but they were in the wrong order, if that makes sense. And I also do a lot of handicapping with a group, and they were showing me some of the data that they look at. And I am an analyst by trade, and one of the things that I try to do effectively is to simplify data so it's easy to see. I'm a visual learner. I know a lot of people are visual. And I want something simple that I can just go back and look at, and look at the pace of a race and what's happening. So again, it's more from the overwhelmed part, and I'm good at simplifying some of this stuff. So that's what I wanted to do, and that was my goal here when I created this thing.
Ed, how long have you guys been up, and what's the reception been like?
Well, it's interesting. Chris and I met up. We were part about 3 years ago of a handicapping tournament that was sponsored through a website on Twitter. And we realized that we had a lot of things in common, and I'm more of an old school handicapper. He's more of a data guy, and I joke about the aspect that we're the odd couple. I'm Jack Klugman, he's Felix, and it works together. His data with my handicapping, and I say this to everybody out there, the spot sheets data, when you incorporate it into your own handicapping, is a win. So we've been doing this really not that long. We kind of started just before the Saratoga meet, and you know, we've heard stories about people struggling with this meet, and the spot sheets have been spot on, you know, so we're having a great meet, so it's been great.
Very good. And I pulled up and was watching one of your podcasts on YouTube last night, and you know, you talk about this being a tool in the toolbox. You still have to handicap, but this will help your handicapping. And why don't we take a look, and before we look ahead and get some ideas for tomorrow, why don't we go back and just use a couple of races previously to kind of explain the product a little bit. And we'll pull up here the spot sheets from the Whitney, and then we'll take a look at the Whitney run. But just, Chris, as we show that on the screen, the spot sheet, just explain to people what they're looking at here.
So when you look at the left-hand side, and again, one of the things that me and Eddie, we have a goal tomorrow morning, is tomorrow I want to actually go through some more races in the card rather than just the stakes and be able to point out some things here. And when I look at this race and I saw it, I'm going to be honest with you. When I originally handicapped this race, I was looking for some different horses to beat Life is Good. Now, one of the things that I look at here, and you'll notice that on the left-hand side is a chart that goes from bottom to top on early pace, and then it goes left to right on total pace. So really what you want to see is the best horses are going to be up in that top right corner. And people that, you know, we all know that Life is Good won this race pretty easy, but I'm looking for gaps here. I'm looking for a horse that is maybe better than the rest of the field. And it's a visual for me to look at total pace, and you see Life is Good. Early speed, Life was good by a mile. Late speed, you could say, okay, there was some better with some late speed. But again, when you look at the graphics comparing to the handicapping, Life is Good really looked good on paper.
Yeah, certainly that was the way it played out. We can watch the stretch run here of the Whitney, and Life is Good did get it done pretty convincingly in there. I'll ask you guys, there was some consternation on Twitter about Life is Good and the Whitney. I thought it was a fabulous performance.
I was surprised. I thought Life is Good was going to be a little bit vulnerable. I thought Olympiad was going to run a little bit better on this. Hot Rod Charlie, he's the classic second, third place horse. He doesn't like to win as much. But the horse that surprised me a little bit was Happy Saver coming up the rail. I mean, gave a little bit of a challenge there. So
yeah, absolutely. And again, Life is Good getting it done. And as you say, looking pretty good on your chart as well and living up to that. Well, that was one that was a short price, but you guys sent me a graphic from a race just within the past week where maybe a touted some value to take your shots with. So let's again take a look at the graphic here. This is going back to race number 11 on August 13th. And again, explain to folks what they're looking at here.
So this one's a little different. And, you know, when we look at the Life is Good race that we just talked about, the other thing you want to do here is you want to validate, is the favorite legit or is it not legit? And that would be an example here. This is the one, I think it was last Saturday. It was the last race of the card. It was a maiden race. We had some data because a lot of these maiden races, as everybody knows, there's not a ton of data to look at. And when you look at the data and you look at who had the best total pace, it was the 9, the 4, and it was the 7 sprinkled in with maybe the 3 on the backside. So Eddie was looking at the payouts again from the weekend. It's funny how this stuff works sometimes, but no handicapping whatsoever. I always handicap, I always recommend it, and that's part of the tool here. But the finish of this race was actually, I think it was 9-4-7.
Yes. It was at 6-1, 37-1, and the 2-1 favorite. So, yeah, nice result there for the sheet. And explain a little bit. The boxes are sized different on the left hand side. The circles are sized differently. What are you telling me there?
Yeah. So I don't want to get too confusing with our viewers. But when you look at the left hand box, again, you've got two elements here. Again, you've got the early speed. You've got the total pace on the bottom. And then again, you get the same data to the right-hand side, so you can see how we get there. So it'll show total pace, early pace, and then the extra thing that a lot of people don't show is actually the late pace. And when you see the late pace here, there's an interesting thing I want to call out. And when you look at this, and by the way, I've been putting this up for free. If you go to @SpotSheets on Twitter right now, we're working on the website coming up, but I will tell you more often than not, and Seth, I know you know this, the best late speed horse typically is the horse that comes in second or third. And that's the way I've been using it. It's hard enough to pick winners. We all know it's sometimes more of a challenge to pick the second place horse. But one of the things that really helps me is look at the late speed, especially when I got some pace in the race, and finding that back speed. And actually yesterday, I think it was the ninth race yesterday, the one horse didn't look so hot on the other side, but the race had pace. And the one had the best late speed by far, and I think he was 33-1 yesterday. Yeah. So it was an interesting one.
Well, again, this was a nice race for the sheet there. We're looking at the total pace on the top, where you see the 4 and the 9 right in the mix, and it came out a 9-4 exacta. The exacta for a buck paid $372 and change. And we talked a little bit about the left-hand side of the page, right-hand side of the page, total pace, early speed, late speed. How are people going to use those?
Yep. So what you're going to do is you can see the breakdown. So again, I think if you're on dirt, we all know that early speed is the key element there. The way you're going to beat early speed on the dirt is if you have a lot of pace into the race. Same thing on the turf. The turf at Saratoga has been playing to back speed. We've had some really nice hits on back speed. But if any of this stuff gets confusing, and I don't want anybody to be intimidated by data, I want to look at the visuals. I want to teach you how to get there. If you go to Spot Sheets on Twitter, you'll see at the very top, pinned at the top, we actually have a reference key.
Yes.
That people can go back and look at. And it's really easy. You look at it a couple times, do a couple races, you'll get right into the swing of things, and it's going to be a great
tool. Yeah, I was checking out things, and I pulled up the Spot Sheets pace visual guide, and it kind of explains what people are looking at and makes it, you know, simplifies it. And there's some common questions that I think will help people out as well. So as you say, you're putting up some free stuff now on the Twitter
Correct.
Feed, which is @SpotSheets. So again, we looked at one that was maybe a little obvious with Life is Good, and then got a good push on April or August 13th with the $372 exacta. We'll see what we can toss out for folks for tomorrow. We'll take a couple of looks at stakes action on tomorrow's card. And you said tomorrow you'll have a video out that's going to help explain for people as
well. Yeah, we're going to do a podcast tomorrow morning, and you know, we're going to take, like I said, we try to keep our podcast to about 30 minutes, so we're going to take 15, 20 minutes doing a tutorial explaining a little bit more in detail about the bubbles, the spacing, and how to incorporate it into your handicapping.
Very good. All right, let's take a look at a couple of stakes tomorrow and get some opinions from you guys. First up, we will take a look at the Lake Placid. I handicapped, obviously, for our show tomorrow, so I've already looked at this race, and I just thought that Charles Appleby bringing back With the Moonlight out of the Saratoga Oaks was kind of telling. You know, in 21st century, a little bit of a quick turnaround. But Consumer Spending is interesting. Eminent Victor, I thought Dolce Zell, you know, Chad Brown, loaded as usual in the turf stakes up here. But why don't you guys give us some thoughts? Ed, I'll start with you.
Okay, yeah, I mean, obviously, I think With the Moonlight, Appleby with Luis Saez getting the mount is a standout in the race. You know, great breeding out of Dubaiwi and a mare out of San Vixen. The 103 time form winning for his last race in Newmarket is a telling number. He's a presser. He can sit behind the speed. He's obviously the top choice, and he won the Saratoga Invitational. I believe it was a grade three, second in the Belmont Oaks. The horse is going to be probably even money, somewhere around there. I'm looking for value here. Consumer Spending with the Chad Brown, Manny Franco combination, they've been hitting at a high percentage, not just at this meet, but throughout the last year. You know, four out of seven. Third in the Belmont Oaks, but was flying late. Last two works are very solid, and his buyers have increased every race in the last seven races. Definitely is sitting on a race. As I said, I'm going with value. I'm going with the eight, Quella Princess. Delacour with Trevor McCarthy riding for him. Trevor, if you haven't been watching, Trevor hits the board so often and pulls out a couple wins. I think he had a win yesterday at a nice price. He was third in the Lake George to the three-horse Eminent Victor in the five Dulce. So flying late, first race off a layoff. I've said this before. I do not mind a layoff in a turf race whatsoever. So I'm going to go with the eight and use the one and the four in exacta plays, just trying to bring value here.
Sounds good. Chris?
Yeah, and you know, listen, the other part of this, too, and everybody sees this, half the field is actually Chad Brown horses. Yeah. So, you know, Chad Brown on the turf, we know that's a winner. But I just look at the spot sheets. Again, I'll have this tomorrow morning, and I'll share it with everybody out there. If you just give us a follow on Twitter. But if you look at it in the pace visuals, to me, it looks like the top contenders are five, the four, the eight. The pace looks really honest here. That's my only concern is, depending on the eight, how far is he going to be back early on? The one looks good on paper, and that's one thing I didn't mention, is the bubble sizes. I have algorithms built in. So the bigger the bubble size, the higher the algorithm is when you look at this data. But I like the five here, and I said this last night. We were talking with Eddie, and Chad Brown, when I look at his horses and I look at the workout patterns, I really like when he does a five furlong bullet work right before the next race. To me, that's gold. You got Irad Ortiz is back again. The horse, you know, is already one for two. He's got the pedigree to run a distance, one for one at Saratoga. I like the five, and I also like the four. And Seth, you mentioned it. I'm a little concerned about. I like With the Moonlight, too, but, boy, that quick turnaround has me a little concerned.
Yeah, I kind of looked at it as a confident move, but it certainly is not the way they do it in the 21st century. So it's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. 10th race tomorrow, one of the highlights every year of the Saratoga meet, the Grade 1 Alabama, $600,000 up for grabs, mile and a quarter. I showed it earlier when Joe Clancy was in. We looked at the coaching club American Oaks with Nest beating Secret Oath. Wayne Lucas says Secret Oath has been working very well. He's looking forward to the rematch. But, boy, Nest off of that coaching club American Oaks. But I thought Gerrymander was interesting. I thought Goddess of Fire was interesting. Ed, what did you see in the Alabama?
Well, first off, I love the Alabama. I mean, it's when I fell in love with Saratoga going back 25 years. I think it was 1999 with Silver Bullet Day One. And when it came back to the winner's circle, the entire crowd just erupted and loved this race. But, you know, looking at this, I've been a big fan of Nest from the beginning. I'm a big pedigree guy. Nest is out of Curlin, who is one of the best sires out there and is part of the deputy minister lineage that I speak about so much, and out of an AP Indy mirror. I think Nest, if she improves off her last race, she could beat the boys in the Breeders' Cup. I think this horse is incredibly special. Gerrymander, the three horse, is jumped onto the scene rather quickly off his last race. You know, regally bred, you've got the Brown Rosario combination, third race off a layoff, 98 buyer last time out, a lot of positives, and probably the speed of the speed in the race. Goddess of Fire is really interesting to me. This horse was really touted a while back, and you know, ran into a couple of issues that I've heard of. You got Pletcher with Johnny V on it, second off a layoff, has been running in top company, has some solid works. You know, I think wants to go longer, and they're putting blinkers on it, I believe, for the first time. So I think Goddess of Fire is a price horse that you can sprinkle in here, but I, you know, Secret Oath is obviously a fantastic horse, but I think Secret Oath has had a tough campaign, so I'm going to use, I don't know that they can beat Nest, and I'm going to use Goddess of Fire and Gerrymander underneath them, and maybe even box them Goddess of Fire with Nest just for an upset special.
Yeah, 20-1 a morning line on Goddess of Fire. Chris?
Yeah, you mean, listen, the spot sheets, when I look at it here, Nest looks best on paper. I don't think there's any big surprise there. I mean, Secret Oath, actually, even though that horse is a presser coming from off the pace, the horse actually has some really good early speed by the computer telling me what's going on. So when I play these exactors, I'm all about Nest. And when I play these exactors, I like to take opposite pace style below. So I think it's 4-7-2. I mean, I've got on the paper, it looks like 4-5-3. I just don't know. I think Nest is a runaway. I think this is a really special horse. I personally was actually hoping that there was an outside chance that Nest was going to run in the Travers, because I would like to see it.
Yeah, no, I think you're not alone there, but they'll take a grade one up at Saratoga and put another grade one on the resume. Just before you go, any like clever idea that the sheep maybe pointed out on the day or today even?
I'll send it out today, and I want everybody to just look at it, get a feel. I try to give some people some ideas, tips. If you got any questions about it, just DM us on Twitter, and we're happy to answer anything. But that's at Spot Sheets on Twitter. I know everybody is not on Twitter, but I would really like to just introduce some of you guys to the information and data. And again, don't get overwhelmed by it. Use it to your advantage.
Yeah, even if you're not signed up for Twitter, you can go over and look. Pull it up on your computer, or pull Twitter up on your computer and type in at Spot Sheets, and you can check out the sheets there again. And as I said earlier, you guys are saying tool in the toolbox. You don't 100% rely on it, but it's a tool you use in with the rest of your handicap.
Absolutely. There's no shortcuts in this game, and I always find that if I don't handicap and I'm just being lazy about it and I go back and I look at it, yeah, maybe I'll get some winners, but I'm not as good as if I actually handicap and then go back and balance it with some of the data.
And I said yesterday, I mean, I hit the early pick 4 and the early pick 5, and they paid nicely, and we had a $28 horse on top of a $20 horse in the next race at a double. Part of that was my handicapping, but I wouldn't have got there without Spot Sheets. So it's definitely a tool to incorporate in your handicapping. And after tomorrow's podcast, hopefully we explain things to where it's going to be much better for you to use and make some money here at the spot.
And you will link to the podcast on Twitter as well.
Yes, sir.
So people can check that out and get more information if interested. Spot Sheets, Spot Plays. We're happy to have you guys on board, Ed Cofino and Chris Pomerleau. Good luck going forward, and hopefully you're handing out winners like candy.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Seth.
Thanks for having us on, Seth.
Appreciate it. All right. We will wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America on a Friday morning. Don't forget, long sleeve T-shirt giveaway day here at the track. Beautiful day here at the track. Come on up and we'll pay the admission. You can get a long sleeve T-shirt this afternoon. So put that on your agenda. Otherwise, go down to the Racebook or fire up your Capital OTV bet account on your phone or your tablet or your computer. Play at home and watch here on the network. As far as the morning programming, we're back in tomorrow morning, Alabama Day, 9 a.m. with the Handicapper Support, 10 a.m. with Racing Across America. We'll see you then.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Come on!
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.